Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Very well, Andrew. I see you are all summery and ready for the beautiful English summer.
Yes, well, let's hope. It had been a very, very rainy spring and actually a pretty rainy winter as well. So yeah, as we always like to kick off, let's get your views on any kind of Fed speeches, data, kind of market reactions, fairly, I guess, subdued this past week, but anything stand out? And yeah, what were your biggest takeaways?
Okay, so the week was cut in two by Juneteenth on Wednesday, but we still got a piece of data that the market pays a lot of attention to, and that is retail sales, and they were lower than expected. So I guess, for the recessionistas, this was one on their side, but to be honest, I understand, that it's part of the Bloomberg calendar. People pay a lot of attention to it from a trading perspective. It's important, and we actually have, a suggestion on how it could be traded. But from an economic perspective, it's not that big a deal in the sense that retail sales, it's a goods consumption and restaurant spending. So it's only a limited subset of the total consumption expenditures, which we'll be getting next week. So yeah, there was a strong reaction to it. I mean, from an economic perspective, I don't think it's wanted. What's going on is that goods consumption ballooned during the pandemic, and services consumption is still catching up. And so we're having stronger services growth than the consumption growth. So, from my perspective, it's not that big a deal. The other thing that is going on, there's been a sort of creeping up of jobless claims. And again, I think I'll write a note to go into the data weeds, because if you look at the data details, I don't think it's that big a deal. The series is rather volatile. Also, if you look at the series relative to NFP, not relative to the labor force, because unemployment is typically computed relative to the labor force, but there is an issue with the Census Bureau not updating its population projections for immigration flows, which is why we've had this disconnect between NFP, growing disconnect between NFP and employment in the household survey, because the household survey, it's basically the ratios computed from the survey applied to the Census Bureau project population projection. So the labor force, which comes from the household survey, is, in my view, underestimated. If you apply the current claims to the labor force, sorry, to the NFP, it's still below pre-pandemic. So that's the second reason why I'm not too worried. The third reason is that if you look at the what is called the insured unemployment rate, so the unemployed people who are getting benefits, right? It's not moving. So all of the increase in unemployment has come from uninsured people, who are people who haven't contributed, and so are not
So they're
entitled.
not eligible.
So yeah, and those are likely to be the new migrants.
Can I ask? I also saw somewhere where it showed a seasonality of like initial jobless claims, and last summer it was something very similar where it went up to
100%.
like 250 or even higher and then came back down, and it's basically tracking like very similar to last. I mean, seems random, but that it was tracking pretty close to a jump in the middle of the summer, and then in the end, it looks like it was just a seasonal thing.
So, yeah, 100%. And I mean, the issue is, to do seasonal adjustment, you need like 20 years of data. And
Yeah, that's
there's
why it's
no
weird to say
question.
1 year, but yeah.
And there's no question that the extreme temperature we are seeing in the summer, are having an impact on things like construction, everything that's outdoor or physical. But we don't
Right.
have enough data to declare that, it is seasonality. The other thing that makes me think this is more, a little nothing of consequence. If you look at the broad economic picture, it's still very, very strong. There is a little bit of a rotation away from consumer spending to corporate investments, in part because we've had a limited slowdown in real household income, so a limited slowdown in consumption. But I'm on this one, I am with the Fed. I find growth still
Pretty
above
strong.
trend.
Yeah. And probably sounds and probably healthy if it's moving a bit more towards corporate.
Yeah, it is, especially
Yeah.
since you're talking about consumption going at a 3% annual clip when the trend is about 2%. So definitely becoming more sustainable. So that's the data for last week. For the Fed, we've had a great number of Fed speakers, and what they said was basically in line with what we saw in the dot plot. So they are more worried, all of them, including the doves, are more worried about inflation. A number of them went batting for their dot. So we had the first speech from Alberto Mousalem, who is a new, well, not so new anymore, but the St. Louis Fed president. And I think he made a very good successor to Bullard because he basically expects no cuts in this year. So he was one of the four no cut dot. So this coming week, we're getting, of course, PC, but there is no mystery there. Probably 14 basis points. That's a median market estimate. The more interesting data around the PC is not really in the release itself. It's published by the Cleveland Fed, and it's a median price PC. And it's a sort of a broader concept than the core. Basically, core, you eliminate food and energy because they are more volatile. In the medium price, you eliminate the most volatile component, whether.
Right, I know you, yeah. You've
Yeah,
mentioned in the
so
past, yeah.
it's a much better indicator of trend than core. We will get it a few hours after the core PC release. Also, from my economist perspective, we get personal spending and income, which is, in my view, much more important to figure out what's going on with growth than retail sales.
Right.
And the consensus seems reasonable. I'm also expecting no change in the household savings rate, which remains super low, about 3.5%. And I think it reflects factors such as, very strong labor market, so limited need for precautionary savings, very strong balance sheet. We got last week the financial accounts, which give us the net worth of the household sector. And it's crazy. Household net worth in real terms is 12% higher than in December 2019.
And
So
that's primarily because of real estate. So if cash balances are low, why, yeah, just to reiterate, so why do you think that people are financially in better shape in general?
well, it's a combination of real estate and equities doing so
Ex
well.
stocks too, yeah.
Yeah. And so, if the Fed really wants to slow growth, they have, I mean, that data shows they
Those
have to be
two.
much more aggressive. I don't think the Fed has any appetite to do that. I don't think it's an issue for this year, but when I look at this increase in net worth, it gives me more confidence in my call for no cuts. By the way, talking about the call, there was one piece of data which was not, actually, it's two pieces of data that were not in the Bloomberg calendar, but again, give me more conviction on my no cut call. One was a research piece published by the Boston Fed where they looked at the relationship between market rents. So if you open Willow, the rents you will see, you'll have to pay for moving into a new property. And the CPI and PCE shelter cost, which are on average of these market rents, and the
Right.
rent, okay, paid by people who are not moving houses. And basically, the conclusion of the note is that, there was the pass-through, there was still a significant gap between the two, and that as a result, shelter costs, inflation would remain elevated through this year. And the thing the note didn't say, but was the second data point, which is a Wall Street Journal article. I mean, actually, the note was they were using CoreLogic, and CoreLogic data on rents shows that market rents are starting to accelerate again year on year. I mean, again, it's a short time series, so you don't have a seasonal adjustment. And that Wall Street Journal article made exactly the same point. So you're starting to see anecdotal evidence that market rents are recovering. And if they keep accelerating, I mean, the Fed is in trouble. And the interesting thing is that Powell was referring to that in an indirect manner during the presser. He launched into a long explanation of this relationship between market rents and shelter costs. And then he said something, market rents increase is still low, but you could sense from the length of the explanation, the tone of voice that is definitely looking and is a bit concerned, and he should be.
Okay,
Okay,
so that's a
so
key thing for people to, because I know people sometimes are saying, I've seen like Zillow rents are actually like close to zero or increases, and people point to that and said, oh, look, so look, rents are coming down, and yet every time the official government number statistics get put out, it shows that that rents are not coming down.
yeah, I mean, you have a series of private market rent indices. So you have Zillow's, you have Apartment List, you have CoreLogic, and they all are at different levels in terms of the year-on-year change. But the one thing they all show is the growth troughed in the first quarter of this year. So we shall see. So sometimes things that are important are not in the Bloomberg calendar, I guess. What else do we have next week? So we have, of course, the GDP estimate, the third estimate. I mean, it's backward-looking information, but it's going to give us a sort of baseline. I mean, the consensus is a 10 basis point increase, no change in the PCE in consumption, which is really the most important one. We also have house prices that are not coming down, and in my view, are driving the recovery in residential investment that we saw in the first quarter. Consumer confidence, one of those surveys with a sort of limited impact, limited predictive power in terms of overall GDP. I use this is a con conference board consumer confidence survey. I pay special attention to the jobs are plentiful minus hard to find sub-index. And it's a coincident indicator of the labor market, and like everything else, it shows the labor market becoming a bit tighter.
So not great news for the Fed.
Yeah,
Okay,
I've
so
heard.
okay, so
Yeah.
so for now we see nothing that would really concern the view that we expect no cuts for this year. And in some cases, as you pointed out, there's several data points that are becoming potentially concerning for, could we even see even some type of acceleration in growth or inflation or troughing at least, which is kind of looks like we're having. But yeah, I guess we in the market is expecting a fairly low PCE next week, so it may bring up some concerns, but a lot of the stuff is built into the price. And if you expect no cuts this year, probably don't expect interest rates in general in the US to head much lower than they are.
Well, this is very good for risk assets. I mean,
Yeah.
the Fed being in wait and see mode. And I keep banging my drum about Fed tightening is not transmitting to the real economy. And I have my beautiful charts. But if there is one, striking evidence of that, it's the fact that at the beginning of the year, everybody and myself included was predicting multiple rate cuts. And now we are down to two at the end of the year, or 1.8. Look at what's happened to equities despite that. To me, this is really the sign that
Yes, we're at
there's,
all-time high.
yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. Okay. As we like to do towards the end of the call, I'll just highlight a few things for our professional investors. Some interesting pieces of the past week. Henry's done a couple of things. Actually came out today. So Central Bank Monitor, so a Bank of England review. And obviously it been with politics there, election coming up, and also Henry's definitely been more on the, cautiously looking out for a cut in the fairly near future. ECB continuing ECB monitor again. Well, there in the case, really data is going to be driving decisions, like Lagarde has said. Dollar yen. So I know Ben and Mirza and the guys and Bilal are looking for, kind of for like a buy on dip type strategy in dollar yen, which a lot of which is kind of driven by your kind of view, Dominique, of with that we don't see US yields coming down a lot from here, and that we don't see cuts in the near future. The Bilal put out a thing on the key themes, the specifically around no Fed cuts, Europe really struggling in JGBs, and the interesting JGB trade. And this was from your meetings in New York. Try to think some other good ones. Another great G10FX special, highlighting a bunch of different trades, including looking deeper into Euro Swiss and also our bearish Sterling Swiss trade, sorry, Sterling CAD trade there. We've added more kind of analytical stuff too around momentum and also positioning, particularly on rates. You Dominic, did a great piece on private credit. So a lot of interesting stuff in this past week for clients to go through. So from my side, that's kind of it. I wish everyone all the best and good luck in the markets. And obviously, hopefully, start enjoying a nice summer wherever people are, certainly in the Northern Hemisphere. Any parting words, Dominique?
Thank you for listening. Please keep sending feedback, negative feedback, especially helpful.
Yes, as always, that is a great point. Okay, cool. Good luck, everyone.